to listen to Big Blue.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. As always, the number for you to call in is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my buddy and colleague, Paulie Dotz, Paul Dottino. And here we are. It is our final week. Tomorrow will be the final Big Blue Kickoff of the regular season. Anyway, and what's done is done. They end the season, a dark, dank, miserable season, freezing cold on a high note. They won a football game. They finish 3-13. They have the second pick overall. But the big question everybody is talking about and wondering about and where we go is with the who's going to be the head coach. I think when Dave Gettleman was introduced, that was.
By the way, don't you have an interview?
Don't I have an interview?
Yeah, to be head coach.
Oh no, I'm not in the scheme of things.
No,
not yet.
But the rumors are out there. You're getting an interview.
I understand though that you are you know vying for the new place kicking coach.
No.
No, that's not the case.
No.
Okay.
That's not the case.
Anyway.
Yeah,
was everybody all set with you? I'm hearing you.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm not hearing you. I'm going to change headphones.
Okay.
You go right ahead.
Go complete. So we're still having problems in this season, I guess.
Yes.
Oh,
this is better.
There you go.
This is better.
And you want to apply to be a place-kicking coach.
No, actually, I got a better idea. I'm going to stay as an announcer because job security is a lot better.
And that's saying a whole lot. No, but really, the situation is, when Dave Gettleman was introduced, it was a grand slam home run.
Yes.
Total grand slam home run. Everybody was thrilled with
Thank you. Stats.
Or whether they were thrilled with it or not, he made the right moves. He came in. He said he was going to, for lack of a better term, I'm going to come in and kick ass every day. Unfortunately, when people come into these situations, other people have to lose jobs. Mark Ross had been here a long time, but out as player personnel guy, Dave Gettleman himself will handle the draft. That's not to save money. That's simply a case of, and I use it in an endearing term, Gettleman's a gym rat. You know, as you use the expression for basketball, a gym rat, he is a guy who loves looking at tape, knows personnel, certainly as well, better than most in this league. I mean, he lives, sleeps it, drinks it, memorizes it. So it is Dave Gettleman, and it'll be owner John Mara. Interviewing people starting this week. Everybody's got a guy who's got the inside track and who's the favorite. Quite frankly, Paulie, I don't see anybody being the favorite because let's put it this way. Dave Gettleman, to me, was the favorite to be the GM. And the reason Gettleman was the favorite to be the GM, he was a known commodity to the Giants. They knew him. He could have very easily been the GM 10, 11 years ago when
Jerry was picked.
Jerry Reese beat
him
out. So he left highly respected, and you knew that he was the favorite. I don't see, everybody's in the papers is saying this guy's the favorite. For one last week it was Jim Schwartz, then it's Josh McDaniel. I don't see anybody being the favorite, and quite frankly, I don't see any reason, and this is not diminishing what any of these guys bring to the table, they haven't given me any reason. I haven't been given any reason for any one of these people to be the favorite. So it's incumbent upon them, and it's incumbent upon Dave Gettleman and John Mara when they sit down with the interviews, they got to be impressed, well, and they got to be wowed by whoever they're doing the interview.
I think I'm looking at this a little bit differently, Russ, because when I looked at Gettleman, I don't necessarily think he was a slam dunk just because he knew people here.
I think his
resume was so good.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they were familiar with that resume as well.
Which was a big help.
That's what I'm talking about.
It was a big help.
No, not because they knew him, but
okay.
His resume plus the fact that they knew him. They weren't sitting down for a first-time interview. That's what I'm talking about.
No, not at all. I mean, I think it's quite clear that 2 plus 2 equaled 4 there.
Yes.
And there's no way that was going to change.
Yeah.
Okay? However, part of the problem and why I can't handicap this race for the coaching job as I could for the GM job, as you could for the GM job, is because as you look at this coaching pool right now, there are no slam dunk resumes. It's not even about who do the Giants know. There's nobody out there who's got a whole handful of Super Bowl rings, like Gettleman had been to so many different Super Bowls, 7 of them, in different organizations. There are no head coaching candidates out there that have such a great portfolio, that have such a great resume, other than John Fox, who I think at this point, from the people I've talked to in Chicago, tell me, he's looking to take time away.
Right.
He has gone through 3 very grueling seasons with the Bears that did not work out well. But if you strictly wanted to go by resume, if you did not wish to go by anything else, strictly, what's the resume say? Who's got the most accomplishments on their resume? John Fox would be that guy. Because look at his record. Look how many double-digit wins he's got. He's been to Super Bowls. 2. You know what I mean?
Yes. But I, quite frankly, that would shock me if all of a sudden he came,
well, again,
came out of the blue.
I think there are other qualifications and other factors here, and I don't necessarily think that John is looking to get back into coaching ranks right away anyway. In fact, for all I know, maybe he'll not only step away, he might decide just to retire.
Yeah.
So, you know, other than that, there's not another resume out there that carries the kind of clout that makes the guy a slam dunk.
Well, but that's and folks, that's not saying any of these candidates would not be the right guy. I'm just
of course
saying
not.
It's up to Gettleman and John Mara and Dave Gettleman and you know to listen and to ascertain and see how they feel and then find out from the respective guys, you know, how they're going to sell themselves to carry themselves. But, you know, I agree with Paulie here. You know, there's like, I don't know how anybody can draw the automatic conclusion that this is the guy. If it ends up being Josh McDaniel, great. If Dave Gettleman feels Josh McDaniel is the right guy, I have enough faith in Dave Gettleman to believe, okay, I'll take his word for it because he certainly knows more than me. But what you're saying, you know, I want to see – there's no resume here where a guy was a head coach that was wow, okay? And no disrespect, none whatsoever to Josh McDaniel, but, you know, being that offensive coordinator in New England ain't a bad thing when you got the greatest quarterback to ever play in a league as your quarterback.
No doubt.
You know, so I just – you know, and who's the other Matt?
Matt Patricia is the other assistant who people are talking about.
So it's an interesting situation, but you know, it's a wait and see as far as I'm concerned. You know, listen, some years back, Mike Tomlin went in as an unknown into to speak with the Rooneys and walked out with the Steelers job.
And
everybody, it was just a matter of. He wowed him and knocked him over.
I think all we're trying to tell you folks is that there is no Dan Reeves nor Tom Coughlin who's going to walk into this coaching search with a resume that is 3 times more qualified or impressive as the rest of the group. The guys in this group, and to my knowledge, the Giants have not had any personal interviews as of yet. And I think they'll be starting whenever, but I don't think they've had any yet.
I guess they could have, but I don't think they did. They certainly didn't, as of yesterday, interview Spags.
He said that he had not scheduled his interview yet.
I don't think
they've done them yet, because he would have been the only guy.
Right.
Because he was here.
Right.
What I'm saying to you folks is that, to me, and I'm with Russ on this, I think it's foolish to handicap a favorite. And the reason is because the Giants have not had any of these interviews yet. And because none of these guys has a resume that sticks out head and shoulders above the other guys. Therefore, if it's a fairly even pool going in, it's going to be up to the guy sitting across the table from John Mara, Steve Tisch, Dave Gettleman. He's going to have to wow them in that room in order to separate himself from the rest of the guys and win the job. That hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So how can you pick a favorite?
No, I agree. And that's why, listen, when Ben and Jerry went, everybody was speculating on who was going to be the GM. You know, and I said here right away, and you concurred, you know, I wanted it to be Gettleman, so I was pleased about that. But I was basing that just on my knowledge of what Gettleman brought to the table as from a personnel standpoint. I didn't pass judgment on the other so-called candidates because I didn't really know anything about them in terms of, you know, detail. And everybody was coming out with there was going to be this guy and that guy. And then when it started to resurface or be talked about that, you know, Gettleman was interesting. Then all of a sudden, everybody was jumping on the bandwagon. Yo, Gettleman's going to be the favorite. Gettleman's going to be the guy that was going to be hired. You know, right out of the gate when Jerry Reese was let go, you know, everybody wasn't screaming, you know, for Gettleman. You know, they had their sexy combos,
mm-hmm.
if you know, who is going to be the coach, who is going to be the general manager, how they're going to orchestrate this and work hand in hand. Well, you know what? We know it's Dave Gettleman, and we're going to have to find out who the coach is. You know, I was talking, excuse me, I actually interviewed John Mara yesterday on the radio because I was filling in for a New Year's Day special on 970 in the morning. And, you know, I'd asked him about the sense, is there a sense of urgency or how soon do you want to get the head coach in place? And John Mara said, well, we want him. Yeah, of course you want to get the guy in place, but you want to do your due diligence and speak to all your candidates. And, you know, as of yesterday, and basically it amounts, Paul, just to permission slips. You know, they had to send it out and get the okay from the prospective teams. So they've done that. And let's put it this way, if the interviews don't start today, I'm sure they'll be starting by tomorrow. Having said that, the number, as always, is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. What do you say we open up the phone lines on this second day of January 2018? A happy new year to all of you. And let's go to California. And a happy new year to you, Tony. What's going on?
Nothing much. I've been a loyal Giant fan since 1959. I went to the title game against the Baltimore coach, and now I'm living in California.
Good. Wow.
I'm happy to talk to you, Russ, and my paisan. I'm a first American born of an Italian family.
Yes, sir.
And here I am.
He's got the wrong guy.
Sitting off the
season. Well, he knows I'm a paisan.
For 2018. And I wanted to scoop Len today because everything happened perfect yesterday. We won our game. Oh, I should say 2 days ago we won our game. And we're not undefeated in our division and our conference.
He's
and
had a long
we still
year.
Ended up with the second pick.
Are you still celebrating? Tony, are you still celebrating New Year's Eve?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you sound it. As they say in Yiddish, you sound a little famished there.
I am.
Okay.
I grew up in the most orthodox neighborhood in the world, Borough Park, Brooklyn.
There you go. So what do you got for us today?
Just for you. I used to go in every Friday night and turn on the lights at the shul.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you were the guy who turned on the lights. That's right.
Absolutely. I got made a whole quarter every Friday.
You're right.
So anyway...
What do you got for us today, Tony?
I want to find out, what is the breakdown with you guys on this program?
What do you mean, what is
you
the breakdown?
You all work for the Giants?
Well, yes, this is a Giants show.
No, I understand it, but do you work solely for the Giants, or this is part of your shtick?
Well, we do different things. are you looking to hire us, Tony? Tony, where are you going with this?
No, I just wanted to talk to you guys. I wanted to scoop Len.
So who scoop Len?
Tony.
Yeah, Len's going to call for Murray.
Tony.
Oh, Len.
Everything was perfect. We still got a number two pick.
All right.
And defeated in the conference and the division.
All right, Tony. All right. Listen. All right,
so thanks for the call, Tony. Take care. Enjoy the off season, and we'll talk to you again another time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tony.
I don't know what was in his eggnog.
I don't know.
But it was really strong.
Some peppermint schnapps, I think.
oh my goodness.
Let me tell you.
Woo! Wow.
That was a wake me up.
I was ready for him to suggest Jim Lee Howell as a coaching candidate.
I didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, God bless him, but he was fired up with energy. But you know what? He knew what he was talking about. He said Len from Maryland, our buddy
Len. Yeah, but he had you as a paisan.
Well, that's because we're from Brooklyn. And if you're from Brooklyn, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or an Italian, you're a paisan.
Okay.
You know that. Jeff in Missouri. How are you today, my paisan friend? What's going on?
Hello, Jeff.
Jeff.
Are you there, Jeff?
One thing I want to tell you, Happy New Year, obviously.
You
but,
too.
In terms of what you guys are talking about, not a clear-cut favorite with the coaching job, I also don't think there's a clear-cut favorite with regard to the quarterbacks. With the Rose Bowl, obviously, was a fantastic game yesterday. But having said all that, I don't think you can judge somebody's heart by measurables. And you guys talked about the coaching, you know, possibilities and that type of thing. So if I can throw a gauntlet out there, if you will, I think Spagnuolo is a giant. And I really admire his integrity, his heart, and his dedication. And I think he deserves a fair shot to get this job. And I think I'm not alone in saying that. And at the same time, as it relates to that, the quarterbacks that are coming out of the league, I watched Davis Webb's interview the other day with you guys. I think he's also a man of integrity and talent. And those are the kind of things, as giant pride people, that I think we need to look at. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well,
sure.
Jeff, let me first let's first go to the coach. Well, you know, let me say this, and then, you know, certainly Paul chime in. I really like Davis Webb a lot. I hope he can be the heir apparent to Eli. I've said this to Paul several times. If Davis Webb can handle himself and be as composed on the field with generalship on the field as he is dealing with us, he's a slam dunk. But I have to wait and see that. Now, as far as Steve Spagnuolo goes, I am clearly, full disclosure, I said this from the beginning. It's interesting that you brought it up because Paul and I were talking about it just before you went on the air when we were talking about candidates. If I had my druthers, I said this from day one when Ben and Jerry were let go. I said I wanted Gettleman to get the job. I wanted
Kevin Abrams
to remain as the assistant, and I would be very, very happy if Steve Spagnuolo was given a chance to be the head coach. I would be all for that. I know, again, that would not be the most popular, let's say, with the fans. But you know what? Dave Gettleman wasn't the most popular with the fans. So to me, you don't have to sell that to me. That's my take on it, Mr. Dottino.
Yeah, I will second everything you said about those guys in terms of Spags. I think that everyone in this building is a Steve Spagnuolo fan. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed to find anyone in that stadium that was at the game the other day to be otherwise. How can you not love this guy?
It's the best.
Okay. Now, if he does not get the head coaching job, I will tell you this. I'd be very disappointed if he doesn't remain on the staff somehow. That's how strongly I feel about this guy. So
I do think the organization feels that strong. See, that's the nature of this business, but I agree with you. I think the organization feels exactly the way we feel. They feel very strongly about him, you know, as a coach, coordinator, whatever. And, you know, if he can wow him as the head coach, God bless. But
you know, he was
got
trying
a lot of respect here.
He was trying to build a log cabin with broken toothpicks over the final month of this season. And to your point, it is not fair for anybody to judge him over what the one loss record was in these final 4 weeks of the season. There's no question about that. There's absolutely, I mean, you just can't do it. In terms of your Davis Webb comment, I think this is relevant, and I'm getting a lot of tweets about this. So if you'll bear with me a second, I want to just take a little bit of a step back on Davis Webb. I've had so many people send me tweets in the last couple of days screaming with boldface, capital letters, the whole works. Well, not boldface. You can't do that on Twitter. But capital letters. How can you believe Davis Webb is going to be the next guy because he couldn't beat out Geno Smith to be the number two?
Oh, that's...
Well, that here's what I want to tell you. That is the most inaccurate statement on the face of the planet. Here was the problem. When the Giants went into the season, they had a plan because they thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl or at least be real contenders. So Geno Smith, a veteran, was signed to be the number two guy because a team that is this close, that at least they think they're this close, they want to know that if a starter like Eli Manning gets hurt for a game, two games, three games, they've got a veteran with experience who could come in, manage the game, give them a chance to win, and keep the boat rowing along the river. That was the entire point and purpose of having Geno Smith signed. So he becomes the number two. Now, here's where things got a little bit wishy-washy. Because Ben McAdoo was a Geno Smith guy at the time, okay? He did like Geno's mobility. He was curious about if Geno ever got into a game, what could he do with his mobility behind a suspect offensive line? He never groomed Davis Webb out of the number three spot. He left him to take only scout snaps all season long, right. Russ. Therefore, Davis Webb fell behind the eight ball. There was never a competition between Geno Smith and Davis Webb. It did not exist. McAdoo said from the very beginning, we draft a rookie quarterback. It's my preference to make him number three and hold the clipboard the whole season.
Yeah. No, that
was the plan.
That was the plan, and they were sticking to the plan at that
time. So don't ever tell me that Davis Webb could not beat out Geno Smith as number two. There was never a competition. That was not the intent. Now, the season goes by the wayside. So what do the Giants have to do now? They're in a scramble. They're trying to figure out, okay, well, geez, now we maybe want to get Davis Webb some reps. Well, how do you do that when, because of the way Coach McAdoo had set things up, Davis Webb was not getting any reps? So now you get into week 10, 11, 12, 13. Davis has only been taking scout team all year. He's in no position to be elevated to number two because he's so far behind the eight ball, he's had no opportunities to coach himself up or to be coached up. So don't you ever tell me that Davis Webb could not beat out Geno Smith as number two. I am so tired of getting those tweets on my page because that is so inaccurate, it's not even funny. And that's the point that I wanted to make when I got that call. Thank you for bringing it up.
Can I get you a Xanax?
Okay. Have a great day.
What? Anything else? Jeff is gone. You're there. You're gone, Jeff. Thank you.
You understand, right?
Well, yeah, but you know what?
Tell me you haven't gotten those same tweets. Well, why wasn't Davis Webb number two? Couldn't he beat out Geno? He must be terrible.
Well, it's the same thing.
Unbelievable.
You know, people spin things any which way they want. I was getting, when they hired Dave Gettleman, oh, now it's going to be more of the same. Why would you want Dave Gettleman, Russ? The guy was fired in he was fired in Carolina. Why would you want him? Well, you know what? If firing was a crime in the coaching and GM business, they'd all be serving 25 to life sentences for crying out loud, because that's the nature of the business. I mean, really, you know, that becomes silly. It's you know, but in answer to his Jeff's question from Missouri. You know, we know a lot more about Spags as a coach than we do about Davis Webb as a quarterback. You know, in terms of certainty, integrity and everything is fine. You still got to be able to deliver the goods. And like I said, I'm not convinced that they don't feel he's the guy. You know. Hey, listen, I was talking with, I was talking with John Mara yesterday. I said, well, you know, you got the number two pick. The last time you had a number two pick, it worked out pretty well for the Giants. Would you say?
Thank God that Bum Phillips took George Rogers. That's all I've got to say.
Think about it.
Because Lawrence Taylor, you know, when they picked Lawrence, do you know the story about the draft room? The Giants were convinced that the Saints in 1981 with the number one pick were going to take Lawrence Taylor at number one. The only dissenting vote in the Saints organization, as the story has been told, was Bum Phillips. Bum wanted George Rogers. Everybody else in the Saints organization wanted Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
And Bum won the argument. And so at the very last minute, the draft number one pick comes up. The card goes up. Giants are holding their breaths because they know people in the Saints organization want LT. Parcells in particular in the Giants organization was desperate for Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
He wanted him so badly. He was a defensive assistant here. And he had scouted Lawrence himself and wanted LT. Anyway, the pick goes up. Saints take George Rogers. My understanding is that room just went bonkers, especially Parcells, because they were so happy that Bum Phillips had overruled his entire Saints staff and taken George Rogers.
Well, you know, when you talk about the draft, you know, I don't know if everybody remembers the history of Phil Sims. Bill Walsh had full intentions.
Yes.
Full intentions of drafting Phil Sims. What was it, like in the third round or something?
Yes.
Had full intentions of picking him, not Joe Montana. Phil Sims was going to be Bill Walsh's guy.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yeah. He wasn't going to take him in the first round, but he was going to take him.
No, and then
he did want him.
Then George Young goes ahead and takes Phil Sims. And do you remember everybody booing that pick? Phil Sims never had a winning record in college. I think his last year, he might have thrown, I think it was something like 7 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. No, I'm being serious. I'm trying to look up his final stats.
You know what's funny?
In that year.
You know what's funny about Phil? In those days, I used to call up Sports Phone every 15 minutes.
Right.
Okay? Because you didn't have ESPN with the crawl and stuff. And well, sports radio where they'd have the draft on live. So every 15 minutes when I thought it was within the hour that the Giants might pick, I'd be calling up Sports Phone to get the next 3 picks of the draft. King Wally for Sports Phone, here's the next 3 picks of the NFL draft. And he'd be rattling them off. So anyway, I put the phone down after I hear Giants select Phil Sims. And I hang up the phone and I'm standing there and I'm like, who? What?
Yeah. I'm trying.
I didn't boo the pick, but I had no idea.
I'm trying to
what
find
they were doing.
His stats now. I remember George Young showing me his stats. I mean, it was. Where is he here?
Oh my goodness! Here, I got Phil's college stats.
Here, his senior season, he completed 92 of 173 passes for a 53.2 completion percentage, had 6 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions for a total of 1,229 yards. Okay? The Ohio Valley moved up. His team went 2-6-1.
Morehead State, baby.
Yeah, so I think Phil Sims is a pretty good Giant, pretty good selection. You know, it's not an exact science, and everybody, and that's why when people ask me, and unless you are a dead bang, sure bet, big time college that you got to see on TV every day, to me, none of us know. None of us know. We don't know from the third and fourth round picks. We're not seeing them. It's the same things that when they tell us in baseball. I don't know what a guy's been doing in the boondocks in A-ball and AA-ball where I'm saying I can't say, from personal assessment, he's a can't-miss guy. And you have to go that same way in a draft. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, how are we doing today?
Hey, Happy New Year's to you guys.
Happy New Year to you, Joe. How you doing?
It's just great to talk to you. It was great the way we finished up there with a win and running the football. And we are really setting in a nice position, really, to go any way we want to do. And you mentioned the coaches. Don't laugh, but unless they'd come out of retirement, that could wow them would be Coward. And I heard Gruden's name going maybe to Oakland, so I don't know if he's on our list.
I'm sure he's not.
So, but them guys could wow you, I think. You know, so, but There's a lot of good candidates there, and you know, whoever wows you in there or whatever, you have the feeling for, you know, the guy like from New England, you know, never had a chance there. He's been around and doing a good job, the defensive coordinator there, and I'm not sure. And I even hear this the guy from Denver now, the running backs coach, or he was a coach,
Eric Studisville.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
know
all kind of names.
I know Eric from when he was a running backs coach with the Giants. Very well-spoken guy, football junkie, good film guy, good technician, a little soft-spoken, but a good communicator, very well-liked everywhere he's gone.
Right.
He's been involved in the NFL for a couple of decades now. Everywhere he's gone, his position, he's basically been a running backs coach,
right,
has always performed to its finest. So I have a lot of nice things to say about Eric. He has not, however, had head coaching experience in the National Football League.
Well, you know, again, that doesn't
disqualify him, but it's a box he can't check.
Thank you for the call, Joe. A happy and healthy New Year to you and your family, pal. Let's go to, again, 201-939-4513 is the number. Let's go up to New Hampshire and chat with Jeff. Jeff, how you doing today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having me. Just wanted to chime in my two cents on two of the coaching candidates. One's a name we hear over and over again, and the other one not as much. Obviously, McDaniels is the hot name for everybody right now. You look at what Sean McVay has been able to do with the Rams. That's what everybody's looking for, the young, offensive-minded, offensive quarterback guru, whatever. And you can understand it because the difference that he's made, Jared Goff looks like a totally different player now that he's in the right system. System matters in this league, so it's pretty much understandable why he's on the top of everybody's list. Kind of like our fans that always want you to pick the playmaker, they always want you to make the splash. They want us to get that offensive guru of a coach. I get it. I don't hold it against him that he wasn't very successful as a head coach his first time out. A lot of people like to bring that up. He didn't do very well in Denver. Belichick didn't do that good in Cleveland either, you know. So.
Correct.
It's great that he's got the head coaching experience. I think that's a plus for him. My concern on his end, I don't know how much of a like a disciplinarian, commands respect type of coach he is. And one of the favorite things from Gettleman's press conference that I really liked was talking about the culture change that this team needs. We've already seen from his first day on the job, he's going to get rid of players with the wrong attitude. He's going to bring on that culture change. I'm not convinced McDaniel's maybe that guy. The guy that I do think would be good for that, but although on the other hand doesn't have head coaching experience, is that defensive coordinator in Carolina, Wilkes. Been reading a few things about him the last couple days.
Jeff, obviously Wilkes, you know, Gettleman's familiar with him from being down there with him, and we hear all these things. But he was only, I think he was only a coordinator for one season.
Yeah, and assistant head coach there.
Yeah.
He was a secondary coach when Dave Gettleman was in Carolina. Jeff, it's very simple. The 2004 version of Tom Coughlin that stepped into the Giants' world at that particular time, that would be the perfect coach right now, to be honest with you. If it was
and
the
we
2000,
don't have that.
No,
there
we don't.
One of those out
there is not. And there's not the 1993 version of Dan Reeves stepping onto campus. Those are the two versions of coaches, quite frankly, that would be immediate favorites for the job, hands down. But those guys
don't
exist right now.
Definitely. Can I just say one thing real quick? The reason I'm intrigued by Wilkes is everything I'm reading and hearing, he's a hard-nosed, old-fashioned, disciplinarian, tough-minded football coach, commands respect and seems to get respect from the players. One of the things I read was, I guess, when Ron Rivera was out quite a bit with some medical stuff, it was Wilkes that kind of took that spot, you know, kind of running the show, and players seem to respond well and respect him well. So I guess, yeah, he doesn't have the head coaching experience technically, but if he's the kind of guy that can demand and command and get respect.
You know, Jeff?
Just saying these things out loud, the hard-nosed, tough, physical football, that sounds like a New York Giants head coach, you know what I mean?
Especially with the
culture change we need to have here.
You know what, Jeff, and thank you for the call, but I agree with you. Everything you're saying, you want a hard-nosed guy. You want a guy who can command respect. But this is how it goes in football. And quite frankly, not just in football. And I think, Paulie, you know what I'm going to say. It depends who was the coach before and what that coach was. If that coach wasn't successful, a lot of times they're going to go with the opposite to try and be successful.
Yes.
Listen, Jim Fossil was a great guy. To a man, everybody liked Jim Fossil. He was a good guy. You liked dealing with him. He had success here.
Very friendly.
The team went to a Super Bowl, okay? But then it went south. And when it went south, and then it's like when it goes south, then the is it politically correct to say the inmates started running the asylum? You know,
Let's stay away from that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But that's how it goes. So what happens is you go ahead and try and get the opposite, the tough-minded guy. So what was going to who was going to follow Fossil? It was going to be Tom Coughlin. And make no mistake about it, Tom Coughlin came in with an iron fist, tough guy. But Tom Coughlin, and he would be the first one to tell you, while he didn't completely change, he certainly had to make adjustments to his personality to deal with the players, because everything was not hunky-dory and lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it got itself worked out. Now you have a situation. Listen, when you have a team that goes 3-13, I don't care who the coach is coming in, okay? When you have a team that went 3-13, everybody knows their neck is on a line. So it's a lot easy to get their attention as the new coach. You don't even have to be a tough taskmaster. All he's got to do is look at you and say, listen, you stiffs, you were 3-13 this past season. No, wake the hell up. You know, that comes with the territory, does it not?
Every single guy in that locker room knows there's going to be a significant amount of change one way or the other. Now, whether or not they're a part of it, each guy's going to have to look himself in the mirror and figure out if he is.
And believe me, you were in the locker room yesterday, as I was, and you can sense a lot of guys, you know, they were asked the questions, and, you know, nobody knows if they're going to be back. Nobody knows. They all say the same thing. It's a business. They want to be back, but you don't know.
Can I say one thing to the caller's point about the coaches and who it's going to wind up being? And this goes to what you're talking about in terms of the change of the atmosphere. It was clear to me from going through that locker room yesterday as guys were leaving, the older guys especially, and then even some of the younger guys who are really football savvy, had said that they were aware of at least some of the things that Dave Gettleman spelled out in his GM press conference. And they were very, very encouraged by the get tough. In fact, kick butt, if I can.
No, you can say kick ass.
Can I say that?
You can say kick ass.
That caught a lot of guys' attention. Dominic Rogers Cromartie in particular.
DRC was great.
Was ecstatic by that type of attitude.
I could listen to DRC talk in his locker all the time. And they're talking, and here's a veteran guy who's been around, and they're asking him, are you familiar? No, I'm not familiar with much. Well, I mean, did you hear anything? No, I just know he said about kicking ass. I like that. That's what he said.
And I talked to a number of guys who were in unanimous agreement that Dave Gettleman spelled out some things that at least they were aware of that made them excited about moving forward. DJ Fluker was just bouncing off the ceiling about a guy who is going to target the offensive line because he wants to be back. He's a free agent. He wants to come back next year because he said Gettleman's gauntlet, or Gettleman's challenge, I should say, throwing down the hammer about this offensive line needs to be better. It needs to be big, tough, physical, pound it with the run. Fluker was like foaming at the mouth. He's like, I can't wait to go out there and play for this organization with a guy who believes in that kind of stuff. That's what I'm all about.
Well, you know, Gettleman said you win with the big guys. You need what was it?
How much bigger do they get than Fluker? Not much.
He used a quote. He used a quote from Tom Coughlin.
He said that Tom told them you have to be big.
Yes.
You have to win with the big guys.
Yeah, that's what it was. You have to. You do win with the big guys, and that means your line up front, both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Let's go up to Maine and chat with Charlie. Charlie,
we know Charlie likes the big guys.
What's up, Charlie?
That's right. Hey guys. Hey, you gotta cut Tony a little slack in California. You know they're 3 days behind the East Coast, right?
There you go.
Hey, I just want to say about the coaching thing. I just think, look, when I said this before, I think when the ownership fired Reese in McAdoo, they already knew who they wanted. and you can't just grab the guy. You've got to have interviews. So, and I think they're doing the same thing here. I don't think the Patriot boys are the ones. I think they want too much control because they come under Belichick, who is kind of a dictator there. He has total control over everything. Look at O'Brien in Houston. It was like a standoff between him and the GM, and it looks like the GM's going to go and O'Brien's going to stay. And that's not the kind of coach that Gettleman is going to be able to work
with. Charlie,
before
you go any further, if sure. I were those two guys, McDaniels and Patricia, and I felt like I needed control, I don't know that I would even agree to the interview. I mean, why would you interview for a job if you know the Giants organization and their structure would not permit me to have the kind of power that I want?
Well, because it's always good on your resume, and also if
they're
interview for the Lions job and the other job, it gives them a little leverage.
Fair enough.
Team possibly wanting them. You know,
I could see that. I could see that. Fair enough. You get your name out there. It's not a bad thing to do. But certainly, if they're not a match because of a power struggle or a desire for power, then there's no way the Giants are going to hire them.
Well,
you understand that.
And you know what,
yeah,
Charlie?
I know.
Charlie, I don't think any of these guys, quite frankly, I don't think any of them, they don't have, use a phrase from Parcells, with pelts up on the wall,
pelts on their belts is what Parcells used to say.
They don't have enough power.
How many Super Bowls did those two guys win?
Well, they don't have enough on their
resume. Not as a head coach, none.
They don't have enough on their resume
to
demand
all that kind
of power.
No, they weren't the head coach, but they were part of it.
Yeah,
they were part of it.
But
they were part of what, five Super Bowls or
they
three
don't,
or whatever it was?
Charlie, they don't have enough on their resume to demand that kind of power. So they're not going to get that. They're not going to walk in and say, you're going to give me this, that, and the other thing, otherwise I'm out of here, because they'll politely say you're out of here.
Well, that's why I don't want them. Anyway,
okay, Charlie, go ahead.
I think they already know who they want for a coach. I think when Getz got there, I think he knows a guy in Carolina, Wilkes, and he also knows Spags. And I think it's going to come down to those two. And the thing is Spags, though, is more of a fossil to me than he is a Tom Coughlin. And I just don't know if they bring him in as a fit because of that. But I think it's going to be Wilkes, and I think it's already been I think they already know that, and they're going to have to interview people, but I think that's what we're going to end up with.
All right.
That's me.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Charlie. Thank you. I don't know that it won't be him, because I don't know that it's going to be him or anybody else at this juncture. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think it's already decided. If it works out that way, so be it.
I don't like the characterization he made, though, about Spags being more of a fossil. Now, it's true he's much more personable than Tom Coughlin was at the beginning of Coughlin's career here.
Well, there was nothing wrong with Fossil as a head coach.
No, I'm not saying. What I'm saying is that Spags, the implication is that Spags does not have the structure or the discipline, I think, when you say he's more of a Fossil than a Coughlin. And I disagree with that.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. But you know what? Nobody was questioning the structure of Fossil until the last season.
Let's just say I was much more impressed with his staff than maybe other people were.
Okay, but what I'm
I was
saying,
I'm a big John Fox guy, and I was a big Sean Payton guy. And quite frankly, a head coach doesn't have to be the linchpin to a staff winning if the staff is really good.
Right.
And I think, to me, I like to give a little more credit to the staff.
Well,
but that's just me.
That's fine. I'm not saying no, but at the same juncture, nobody was talking about how bad the structure of Fossil was until his last season.
Okay.
His losing season. Let's go to Coach Marvin in Delaware. Happy New Year there, Coach. How are you, buddy?
Marvin, are you going to apply?
Happy New Year, guys.
Marvin, your football intelligence that you bring to this program is welcomed. Are you going to apply?
Oh, well, I was calling. I was just listening to the call. The guy from Maine, he cracks me up. He makes me laugh. I would like to Google him and see what teams he's coached, but I don't believe he's coached.
No, Charlie has coached his own mind. That's what Charlie has done.
Yeah, he got a lot of information that a lot of people don't have, saying who they're going to pick as coach. But, Gettleman, I'm good with the pick, with him coming as the GM. Didn't matter who they pick, because we're going to have to deal with whoever they pick anyway. So we'll see how he does, and I always judge people when adversity hits. That's the best time to judge people's character. And Gettleman, apparently he has some good character. He has good character. He's coming in, and he's doing the hammer. And let's see how long it'll last. But the guy I like was Lewis Reddick, and that's only because I'm biased. I kind of like watch him a lot, so I was seeing Lewis Reddick, so he was the one I was rooting for.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to get him in this getting the job.
Marv, the thing that I like about Gettleman, if you watch him talk, it's like talking to the guy in a corner candy store. I mean, he's comfortable in his own skin. He's not. When you saw his press conference, he would be the same way if you were sitting at a lunch counter on a stool, sitting next to him talking. He wasn't pontificating. He's a personnel, like as I said, Jim Rat. He's a personnel football guy. He loves doing this. He loves the job. He loves the interaction. And he knows what he's doing. So, I mean, to me, that's why his press conference, he won people over, even some of the naysayers who weren't happy about it, just because he's a straight shooter.
Yeah, Marvin, I think you as a coach will appreciate more than anyone, perhaps, because you've been in the line of fire in the operation of a football program. He is a guy who is going to allow the facts, the evidence, the tape, the performance – to dictate his decisions. And a guy who does that is going to get a lot of respect, because that means we all know he's going to be fair. And there's going to be evidence behind the decisions that he makes. Because when you say to him, hey, why are you doing this? Why'd you cut me? Why don't you want to give me this much money? Why am I not playing? Whatever Gettleman says, he's going to be able to say, guess what? I got this in my pocket, and here's the evidence why. How can you dispute that? That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's I think that's what he's going to bring to the table, and he is bringing to the table. So I'm fine with it, and see if he can turn the team around. I believe he will. And so we just give him that chance to do that, and everybody needs to calm down on the choice. As far as the coaching goes, I agree with you, Paul. I think Paul was the one saying that there's not a lot of guys out there that's going to blow your socks off, bringing anything to the table that you are like, oh, my God, we got to have him. There's not a lot of choices out there. I still believe they should kick the tires on Coughlin and see what he says. The worst thing he can say is no. And, he won't come back. Try him to come back. And my other choice is, I watched him as I lived in that area, is McDaniel. People talking about him, he wants a lot of power. He's had that before in Denver, and it didn't go well. My impression of him, he was too much trying to be Belichick, as he would say, the hoodie. And I think that was his downfall. If he goes and be himself, he's a very creative coordinator. We have a tight end that he loves. I think he can exploit a lot of defenses with Ingram in the way he creates offensively. Belichick gives him all those lanes to do those things. And if he's a guy that comes up with game plans for every team they're playing. If you notice, New England, they really never have the same game plan. It's a different game plan every week. So I think he'll bring that to the table. And the discipline, I think he would bring a little bit of discipline because of his where he's coming from, and the back with Gettleman backing him up, who is the iron fist on this team right now. I think it'll work fine. I think there'll be a good team. So
you know what's interesting to me, Marvin, and I like your take on this before you go away. And it seems to me, and Russ, you were around back in the 90s as well. Charlie Weiss was supposed to be that next brilliant offensive assistant that was groomed under Parcells and then Belichick, and was going to be the next surefire guy from that tree to be the young and up-and-comer who was going to just blow people out of the water.
And he had a personality.
Had everything.
Yeah.
Had everything.
But here was.
But what happened? After a number of stops as coordinator and even big time D1 head coaching jobs in college, Charlie Weiss turned out to be an absolute bust.
How about the head coach of Notre Dame?
That's what I just said. D1. Kansas and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He was a bust.
But you know what, Marvin and Buddy, thank you very much for the call. Happy and healthy New Year to you and your family.
Go ahead,
Marv. Finish up.
Give one more tip to Paul. Yeah, I do agree with that. A lot of Belichick street coaches haven't done well. But I wanted to give a quick, real quick, I wanted to tell him, hopefully I can get to talk to Paul offline one day, is before this draft. I gave y'all the draft of Baker Mayfield that I love, and I had a guy playing last night. I had him as a sleeper. I don't think he's a sleeper anymore, Paul. It's Sony Michelle. I had him a month ago.
Yeah, I don't think he's a sleeper anymore either, buddy.
No, not now.
He's a waker-upper. He's not a sleeper.
Yes, he is. You might get him in the second round now, but I have been looking at the films. I've been Googling a lot of film on a lot of guys in different positions that I've been going through.
Okay.
I'm back as football, but making this real short, all those guys I talked about that draft pick, the guy, we're in a Michael Jordan situation right now. We're the Portland Trailblazer. Picking number two, who you want, Sam Bowie or you want Michael Jordan? And I'm telling you right now, I may be wrong, but I think I'm not. Barkley is Michael Jordan. This guy was unbelievable last Saturday. This is the guy. If you look at everybody on that board, there's none of them that can compete with him.
Marv, I tend to agree with that. But I think they're going to take a hard look at that. Again, I was talking with John Mara yesterday, and he said to me, I don't know what we're picking. Nobody's made their decision yet on who's going to be the guy or what that guy is going to be.
Marvin, I want you to do me a favor. Please make sure you call back again. I'll be on again on Thursday and then, of course, throughout the off season. I want to discuss this more with you, but not now because we've already had too much time on the phone call. But you know me. I'm not taking a quarterback at number two. I'm going to try to trade down. If I can't, my only problem with taking Barkley, because I love the kid. I mean, I do think he is that explosive. If you don't have an offensive line that's going to get the job done, you're wasting your time with a productive running back like that because he's going to get banged up so bad and not have any room to run. You got to make sure you got plans to fix that O-line or Barkley is just a wasted pick.
Yeah, but you know what?
We'll talk again, Marvin, I promise you.
Talk again, buddy, but you know what? If you can't run, you're going to be in trouble. I don't. This is a passing league. I get it, but you still got to be able to run the ball, especially if you're building on defense, and that's what they're doing.
See, I'm glad that the Giants have free agency to go through first because they can try to retool a little bit there and see what the deal is. And I'm going to make this clear because I'm getting bombed with tweets on this too about people who either want the quarterback or they want Barkley.
What are you worried so much about the tweets about?
Well, I want to try to because the show's for the fans. Right, and I want to explain to the fans exactly where I'm coming from because a lot of them have a misconception when they hit me up on Twitter.
Right.
There's no way I'm taking a quarterback. I've made that clear. And my first preference is to trade the pick for a shopping cart load of picks.
Right.
That's my first preference. If I can't get the shopping cart load of picks that I want, well, then I'm going to do two things. I really could see myself taking Barkley. I could.
Yeah, I could.
But, that better be part of a two-part plan. And that part two of that plan is you're going to do something in free agency to enhance that O-line, and then you're going to make sure that sometime between picks 2, 3, and 4 in the draft, you're going to get at least two offensive linemen. Because if you don't, you have wasted that pick.
Yeah, but, Paul, I think that goes without question. They know. It's like the Goodyear blimp, you know, is carrying a sign. Everybody knows you got to rebuild the offensive line. So, I mean, they're certainly not going to take a running back like Barkley, who's a gem, without and have him run behind a garbage heap. Let's put it that way.
What is interesting is that Gettleman with the Panthers took McCaffrey,
right?
Who is another one of those very explosive, versatile offensive talents.
Right.
And, you know, and I was not a McCaffrey guy for the Giants because I didn't think at the time, the way that they were built, that they could be able to use him correctly. Well, it's quite clear that Gettleman understands the value of that kind of player. He just has to make sure he's got people around him.
All right, we got some time for another call or two. Let's go to Lenny in Columbia, Maryland. How are you, Lenny? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys.
You too, Len.
Happy New Year. Well, Paul might be able to relate to this because I'm sure he was in the building when this happened. Last January 1, 2017, Paul, I didn't feel as good about the Giants walking out of a stadium since I had when I walked out of Lucas Oil after that Super Bowl win. That win over the Redskins last year, I thought to myself, we're back, we're going to make a run. In less than 24 hours, one wheel was off the track with that off-day experiences with some of the players, you know, what you do on your off-day and so forth. Then we lost the playoff game the next week, and it seemed to go downhill from there. What a year.
Len, guess what? The Giants are 500 this morning.
Yeah, there you
How about that?
And tied for first, Paul.
Well, I got no problem with that.
We can be tied for first.
They're 500 again.
The good news is teams with a new coach can begin their off-season program on April 2nd. That's only 3 months away. So it's not that it's really not that far away before we really get into it for next year.
You can begin training
a
camp early too.
For Sunday's game. Good to win a division game. Especially at home.
Lenny, I don't mean to cut you off. Make your points fast cuz we got to get ready to wrap up here, my friend.
Okay. Let me stick to Sunday's game. Let me say first, I like the Gettleman pick. True personnel guy, and he sounded like a guy who really wanted to make it work. Like he's happy to be home, and he's got something to prove after the last experience. I think he's going to be a good one. I'm kind of looking forward to some of his moves. Look, good for Spags, game ball. Good for Eli. Not enough credit ever given to Phil Simms and Eli for having to play late season games in that stadium. We've seen other quarterbacks fold in the wind there and in the cold weather. And I just want to say those two guys over the years handled that experience, you know, really, really, really well.
Best play
of the day on that blocked extra point when that defensive back picked up the ball and was running down the other way for a possible 2 points. And, you know, not my favorite player, but I want to give him some credit here. Brett Jones.
Well, Lenny,
he must have run 50 yards to make that tackle.
Yes, Lenny. We got to say goodbye, Lenny. Happy and healthy New Year, buddy. Thank you for calling. I don't know why Brett Jones wouldn't be your favorite player, because let me tell you what. Brett Jones is one of the bright spots on what was a
sure
dark
is.
Season for the Giants.
And that was more than a tackle, by the way.
No.
That was an explosion.
No, but you know what? I looked at
Boom.
It. I was sitting with you, and I said, was that Brett Jones?
He did.
Am I right? I mean, think about it. No, Brett Jones was the bright spot. Or if he wasn't the, he was a top two. He was a bright spot. He was a guy who came in, kid from Canada, Regina, and he comes in and you know, that's it. Don't underestimate that center position. Listen, David Deal loves him. I mean, he just thinks he's a player. You know, so listen, folks, it was a rough season. Last week was a good week. You got a new GM. He came in with, as he said, a kick-ass attitude. He's going to handle the draft by himself, which I'm all for. There's no reason for him not to do it. He's the guy. Now we got to see who's going to be the coach. And it's right now it's musical chairs in the minds of fans and media. Who's it going to be? We're going to guess along with you each and every day until we're told who the head coach is going to be. We're in agreement. It's not a foregone conclusion. It's who's going to – I don't know if is it the term who's going to wow them or who they're going to feel comfortable with. And knowing Dave Gettleman and John Mara, they're going to look at each other and say – I don't think they're going to be on the fence about it. They're going to come to the conclusion he's the guy. You know, if you're walking out of a room thinking, scratching your head, should we go with this guy or should we go with that guy? That's not a good way to pick a coach or a GM. And I don't think they were on the fence about any of their coaches, about the GM.
No,
and I don't
not
think
at all.
I don't think they're going to be on the fence about a coach.
I go back to one simple statement before, Russ. The winner is going to have to be the guy who separates himself from the rest of the pool.
Well, yeah, that's kind of going in with what I said.
Yeah.
You can't leave John Mara and Dave Gettleman with a, should we go this away or should we go that away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which way, this away or that away?
No.
And
can't do it.
Listen, folks, it was 3-13, but now we got what to look forward to. You got a number two pick. You got a new GM in place. We're waiting for the coach.
It's 0-0. It's 0-0. 0-0.
On January 2nd, that's where we are, 0-0. Our thanks, as always, for you people calling in. Paulie, with you and me, it's our last show for this season. I'm back here tomorrow with David Deal. It's Big Blue Kickoff on Giants.com. The number is always to call, 201-939-4513. I'll be talking with you tomorrow.